welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Good morning. Are you sitting down yet? Please stand up. And before you sit down again, give somebody a big hug and tell them you love them. Woo! Amen. 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 Good to have everybody today. I got an announcement to make. Are y'all ready? I love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We really do. It is great, great, great to be here. Isn't it though? Isn't it though? You know, God is so special to us. You know, there's so many words that you can put next to God that just really don't qualify fully. But he is very special. There's no one like him. None like you. None like it. And I realized that yesterday during the memorial service for Mike Millwood, I don't know if everybody knows that or not, but he did pass away Thursday, graduated to go to heaven. And during that time, his name meant and means... Is anyone like God? Is anyone like God? See, it's a question. And the answer to that question is no, no one. No one. No one's like God. But God in his love and in his charity toward us made it an invitation for us to be like Christ. He sent Christ, paid for all of our sins, and entering into that, he said, the purpose for Jesus coming, not just one, but he paid for us, but he says, for us to become the express image of Christ. The express image of Christ. So that's our identity. And if we need to fulfill all of that. Mike Swanson, I do see you. Had surgery. He's back with us. Good to have you back. He's doing well. It is so good to see you. So good to see you. And I want to give special thanks to all the speakers that spoke for the last 4 weeks. I couldn't ask for a better crew. And that's not all of them. That was just four of them. We have many more. Did such a great job. Philip, I sound to myself a little hot. I'm not calling myself hot. The sound is a little hot to me. And it may be my new ears I told you about. I got hearing aids. And to a lot of people's pleasure, they're tired of me saying, huh? Huh? What'd you say? But today I'm going to give you a little bit of a message concerning a matter of your heart. It matters. Your heart matters. Say that to yourself. My heart matters. And who does it matter to? It matters to God. It's not your ticker. It's not that. He made that. But that's not what he's after. He's after... Your heart is your inner core of your being. Here. Right here. He's after this. He's after the core of all that we are. See, he wants all of our heart. Not just a little, not just a Sunday, not just when we are on the mountaintop. He wants our heart all the time. All the time. So it is a matter of our heart. Our heart is his treasure. You want to know what God treasures? Our heart. You know, not this. We can do that. It's great. Not dance. Not this. Not. You can have all of that and not give him your heart. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. He wants yours. He made David king, and in making him king, he said, he is a man after my own heart. God's own heart. He's a man that is after. He's after. He's in pursuit of my own heart. So God says, my heart is in pursuit. In that verse, my heart is in pursuit from this man. And that's a question we need to ask. Is his heart in pursuit coming from you? Coming from me? Well, the answer to that question should be yes, because God wants all of our heart. You know, God allows all these things to touch our lives, to come into our lives. And the reason we have these difficulties and trials that comes into our lives is because he's wanting to draw us closer to his heart. Draw us closer. It's not to punish. It's not to straighten us out. He's not doing that. He's after our pursuit. He's after our core being surrendered. Do you know surrender is your safest place? Surrender to God is your safest place you'll ever be. Your surrender to him. Not your resistance, not your opposition, not your reasoning, not your opinion, but your surrender is your safest place in God. And these pressures that we do have, they make us stumble sometimes. But he's just really revealing to us that the completeness of our surrender, the completeness of who I have given him, is incomplete. And he's showing us that not for condemnation. He's not showing us that to ridicule. He's not doing any of that. He don't do that to us. He's showing us that to draw us closer, to reach deeper into who we are, and that we can surrender the core of our being. Our being. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to talk a little bit there, but before we do, I want to give you some other scriptures that you might want to write down. I don't have them on the screen. But there was a song by John Mayer written about 18 years ago. And in that song, it said this. It said, he said, even when your faith is broken. Has anybody ever had your faith broken? I mean, you have difficulties believing sometimes. Even when your faith is broken, he says, even when your faith is broken and your vision begins to be dim. Even when your faith is broken, and even when your eyes are getting dim, even when your vision is dimming, your hope is dimming. The rest of that song says, do it with a heart wide open. So what's the invitation? Even when your faith seems to be broken, and even when you lose the vision of what you think you need to be doing, he said, enter into that with a heart wide open. Say a heart wide open. A wide heart, a wide open heart. No reservations. No hanging on to something and unwilling to surrender. No, he wants our heart to be wide open. I loved a part of that song. With a heart wide open. And I remembered that when he wrote it 18 years ago, and I never forgot it. A heart wide open. No matter what we're going through, a heart wide open. A place where my inner being of who I really am is being offered up to him and said, I don't understand it. I don't have the answers. I don't even have an opinion on it. But what I give is all that I am. What I surrender to you is all that I have. All that I have. That includes our mind, our will, and our emotions. Well, I don't feel like it. Give it to him. Give him your feelings. We don't want to say those things because we don't want to shock him. Duh. You ain't going to shock him. He already knows it. He's just wanting you to acknowledge it and say, I surrender it. So you can acknowledge your sin but never give up your sin. You can acknowledge that I'm doing wrong but still do it. And he said, no, give it up. Give it up. Give it to him. A heart wide open. See, what it tells us is that we can have a doctrine. We can have a teaching. We can have a doctrine about him and know what's in this book all about him, but not demonstrate him. Do you get it? You can have all the teachings. You can know the scriptures, but not demonstrate who he is. Why? Because it's right here and not right here. It's right here and not right here. David said, I desire truth. Where does he say, I desire truth? In the innermost parts of my being, right here. Where did he desire truth? Right here. This is the oneness. Becoming one with it is not here. Becoming one with it is right here. That's the core of your being. A core is a Italian word, really, that means heart. The core of our being, the heart of who we are. Wanting to surrender. That song, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I don't surrender a little bit. Surrender it all. We can surrender just a little. I'll give, you know, because sometimes we feel like we've got a little bit of Jesus. No, that's not the giver. He's not the giver of a little. He's the giver of abundance. He said, I come to give you what? Not just life, but abundant life. Abundant living, more than you and I can ever imagine. Abundant living, abundant life. So we can know all about him and not demonstrate him. And he wants us to demonstrate. And it comes out of our heart. What comes out of a heart is what's in your heart's what? It's going to come out. I said that. What's in your heart is going to what? Come out. You know, somebody said, well, I know that person's heart. No, you don't. No, we can't see the heart, but we can see the demonstration of the heart. We can hear the demonstration of the heart. God knows the heart. God knew the heart at the very beginning so that he led Jeremiah to write this. He said, the heart is desperate, is deceitful and desperately wicked. Yeah. You know what God said about that? Over in Ezekiel was this. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them a new heart. And I'm going to give them a new spirit. And he did that through Jesus. Because the heart, the inner core of our being from the beginning could not love him, could not obey him, could not follow him, could not do anything for him or with him. Couldn't even recognize him. Why? Because it's deceitful and desperately wicked. He said, I'll give them another heart, and I'll ride on the new heart. I will write on the new heart. Is your heart being written on from the Father? Mine has. And I know yours has too. So over in Psalm 119, you don't turn there. Psalm 119, he says, search for him with all your heart. Say with all your heart.
All your heart.
Seek him. Your job is to say, with all my heart. Are you ready? Are you ready? We're going to preach together. How about that? So seek him. Look for him. Serve him. Worship him. Seek him. And that word seek means turning to the Lord, repentance. So you repent. Make a covenant with him. Love the Lord. Walk in his ways. Keep his commandments. Cling to him. Obey the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Draw near to the Lord. Trust the Lord. Now, I didn't give you the scriptures on that because I didn't want to interrupt with all my heart. All of that, I got scriptures for every one of those. You know what that demonstrates? That demonstrates that God is after what? All our heart. Not a little. Not a little token. We have so much token Christianity. We just give him a little and think we've done a lot. Well, I did this. I prayed today. Well, I read the Bible a few minutes today. Or I read the Bible a lot today. All that is good. What is he after? He's really not after your prayer. He's not after you reading the Bible. He's not after you following. What is he after? Your heart. All of your heart. When he has all of your heart, you're going to be doing these things. All of your heart will surrender all to him and be able to follow him. And that Caleb, that's what Caleb said. That's what the Bible said about Caleb, that Caleb followed the Lord with all his heart. And you know what happened because of that? He can't catch this, parents, or everybody. With all his heart, he followed the Lord with all his heart. And you know what it said in that verse? And his descendants inherited the promises. You want to impact your children? You want to impact your family? Follow the Lord with all your heart. That means in the quiet times and the still times and when nobody else is looking, you're still following God. Even when the pressures are not to follow, but to follow self. Not to follow him, but to follow our reasoning or our own visions or our own thoughts. But that's something hidden in the Bible. Said Caleb followed God with all of his heart, and his descendants inherited the promises. You want your kids to inherit the promises of God? You set the example to follow him with all your heart. They'll know. Kids will know. They're sharp. They're sharp as a tack. They know religion. They smell it from a mile away. If it's just a religious thing and with no heart in it. They understand. Well, I did this wrong today. I did this wrong today, Dad. I didn't mean to. Well, that's all right. No, it ain't all right. He's making it a confession. Agree with the confession and says, you know what we need to do now, son? This is what we need to do. We need to surrender to God with all of our heart. Instead of patting them on the back and making sure that they feel important. They need to feel important. They need to feel valued. They need to be lifted up and thanked and praised for their things that they've done good. They need that. But they also need correction. But see, it's one thing to say, look, don't do as I do. Do as I tell you to do. Oh, I'm going to go a long way. You understand what I'm saying? There's no inheritance of promises in that. I feel like I'm yelling at you. See, God is saying all of this. He says, all of this lets you know that I'm after your heart. I want your heart, and I want all of it. That's reading the Bible over in Revelation. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's knocking? Jesus. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any person hears my voice and what? Opens the door, I will come in. What's he coming in? That door. That door that he's not. What door is he knocking on your heart? What door is he knocking on saying, I want to come in and I want to commune. I want to sup with you. Not condemn you. I want to sup with you. I want to have communion with you. And you know, and we've used that for evangelistic, for people that don't know Jesus. But you know who he's talking to? Churches. The letter was sent to churches that know the Lord. What compartment of your heart is he knocking on? Is he saying, if you hear my voice, what's his voice? I want to come in. Let me in that area that is closed off, that is shut. Let me in that area. Our communion will be so sweet. He wants our hearts. Over in Proverbs chapter 3 is where I was going today. Don't know if I'm going to get there or not, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That was the last one that we talked about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? It means a state of my being here, right here, has produced bold confidence. Do you have bold confidence today? Well, I do in some places. Well, the other places where we don't have trust. Very plain. The other places where we feel that we don't have trust. He said, trust in the Lord, not a little bit, not with a few, trust the Lord with all your being, all of your heart, all of your heart. And he goes on and he says that means to have complete reliance upon, to have no fear. And it also means to not be in question. Is your trust in question? Is there anything about your life that's going on that you have a question about? That you question God about? That he won't take care of you? That he won't provide for you? That he won't heal you? You see what I'm saying? That he won't do that? Is there a question? Trust means there's no question. No, I don't have a question about it. That's the reason today I was talking to Miss Lynn today, this morning, and she was sharing with me a dream that she had about the Father loving her. Jesus loving her, the Father loving her. You know, and that's the same thing I had many, many years ago. I had that vision of the Father embracing me. Even when I looked horrible, I did horrible, I was awful. He said, I want to hold you. I want to hold you. Let me hold you. What was he after? My heart. And I said, I can't make it. You know what I was depending on? My own ability. What I can do. What I can say. What I can. No, I can't do anything. I said, I can't make it. And his hands lowered and said, can you just fall? Can you fall? Can you just fall into my arms? And she had that experience of the Father's love, and she said she'll never doubt it again. She'll never doubt the Father's love. And since that moment, I have never doubted the Father's love for me. I've not been perfect, but I've never doubted his love for me and to me. Never doubted it. But the heart is the seat of our affections. It's the safest place of our surrender. We said that. When our mouth opens, what speaks? Our heart. It also says this: where you have your whatever you treasure, what's the rest of it? There will what? There will your heart be. Oh, no, not really. Oh yeah, really. He don't play around with it. He's not mean. He's very just. He's very honest. He's very forthright. He said, where your treasure is, what you treasure, your heart will be right next to your treasure. What are you treasuring today? What is your treasure today? House, car, job? Anything, you name it, what's your treasure? I'm not saying that they're not good things, not great things, but what are you treasuring? What is your treasure? In that treasure, he said, your heart's going to be right beside it. Say amen. Amen. All right, so be it. So then he goes on and says, do not lean on your own understanding. Lean not. That word lean does not mean to prop up. See, this is a prop. Right here is a prop. That's not a lean. Lean is when you fully give into to be supported by. See, we want to use props with God. I'm going to prop myself up with God and go to church today. You hear what I'm saying? Nah. Yeah, you can do that, but guess what you're not doing? Trusting God with all your heart. Why? Because you're leaning on your own understanding. And he says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on it. Don't put your support, don't expect your understanding to support you. It won't do it. Lean not into your own understanding. He goes on and he says, we have the mind of Christ, but the mind of, he says we. And Paul didn't say I have the mind of Christ. He said we have the mind of Christ. Guess what we have? The mind of Christ. But see, it's not the mind of Christ that is here, that we have the ability to be able to connect with God on what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. To connect with him. But see, the mind of Christ is not to be opposed. I know, Lord, but. I understand, but. Yeah, no, you don't understand. Think you do. No, you don't understand. Mind of Christ is not to be opposed, but to be surrendered to. All to thee I, my blessed Savior. See, it's not to be opposed, it's to be surrendered to. What we surrender to in God is like, I don't understand it. He does. I don't know about it. He does. I don't have it figured out. He does. I don't even have the ability. He does. He does. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That word acknowledge, in all your ways. Let's talk about that for a minute. In what way? Which way? Let me ask you, which way does he want to you to acknowledge? Which way? Well, guess what part of all is? Are you a husband? Those of you, are you a wife? Those are ways that he says, I want all your ways acknowledge me. If you have a hard time in your relationship, can't get along, do you know what God is after? God is after for you, after you and I, to surrender that way of me being a husband to him and acknowledge him. Acknowledge means to become one with. To become one with.
in all your ways, become one with him. You want to solve some marital issues? Become one with him. Become one with. A parent, a husband, wife, a teacher, a car dealer, a doctor, a Christian, a neighbor. Are you a neighbor to somebody? Absolutely, but I don't know who they are. I mean, I'm not going to say raise your hand, but I don't know who they are. But they live over there. Who is that? Well, that's so-and-so, but what do they do? I ain't got a clue. In all your ways, acknowledge you. In every way that you have in life. If you are the provider of the family, in all your ways of being a provider, what do you do? What's he said do? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways, acknowledge him. Become one with him. That same word is Adam knew Eve. Same word. Became one with Eve. Become one with him. Acknowledgement. See, we look at acknowledgement of seeing somebody and all this. I see Miss Sherry over here on the end. Hey, Miss Sherry, how you doing? I can say, how you doing? And I can keep on going. And we call that acknowledgement. That's not what God calls it. That is fine. That is me recognizing her and giving her my recognition. But I'm moving on. That's not acknowledgement. Acknowledgement is when I become one with. See, a lot of times I say, Hey, God. How you doing, God? And then just move on. That's the thing about recognize. See, we recognize God as the healer, the savior. You understand what I'm saying? The provider. We have so many things we recognize God for, but we don't acknowledge it. Become one with everything about him. What is he wanting about everything about our lives? He's wanting all of our heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then his promise is what? And he will make your, he will direct your path. He will, and that word means he will make your way straight. Has things been crooked in your goings? Has it been a little wobbly in your goings? You're coming and you're going. Has it been a little wobbly, a little strange, it just don't feel right. It's because we haven't acknowledged God because we don't feel the direction of our path. The promise is, it's acknowledge me and I'll direct your path. And see, that word about directing your path means to straighten and to acknowledge and to straighten, but it also means this. Don't forget this. It means to be effective. Do you want your path to be not just straight but effective? Do you want everything that you do in life to be effective? Do you want it to be on purpose, and it reveals the purpose, it reveals the destiny, it reveals the fullness? Or is it just, it was just a decision? No, it wasn't just a decision. It was a direction from God, and he said, I will direct your path. I will make the path that you're walking on straight. What does that mean? You will know clearly where it is you're supposed to go. It won't be this way, it won't be that way, it won't be this way, it won't be that, it'll be this way. It'll be clear to you. And not only that, it also means it'll be effective. Our ways, our paths will be effective. Oh, I need that so much, don't you? I need that so much. So what we do is we become, when we begin to acknowledge him and surrender to him and trust him with everything that we have, and he says, I'll direct your path. And in that, what we couldn't do, what's the rest of it? We now can do. Why? Because he's given direction and he's given the power to be effective. Why? Just because we've surrendered. What we couldn't do before, it's like when you're having a battle with your wife or your spouse or a friend or whatever it is, and it's like it's bumping heads and we just seem to be not getting along, whatever. You know what God wants? He wants your heart. He's wanting you to surrender. He said, if you just acknowledge me in all of your ways, all of them. He said, I'll make your path straight. I'll make your path as a husband, as a wife. I'll make it straight, and I'll make you as an effective wife. Effective husband. A lot of times I'll have people that are wanting marriage counseling and all. One of the questions I love asking them, and I said, we're not getting along right now. And I said, I understand that. I know what that's like. I've been there. Brenda's been there with me. Hadn't we, honey? Yeah. You didn't have to be that quick to acknowledge it. But one of the things I like asking them, I said, well, what's God say about it? What? What'd you say? What's God say about it? I really don't know. And I said, I'd find out what God say about it. What's God saying about it? Well, it's like being in the meeting with the deacons or elders or whatever and says, okay, we got trying to figure this out. This won't work. This won't work. Everything. We're just not getting along. It's just like that. And then all of a sudden somebody says, well, let's pray about it. And somebody says, well, has it come to that? Now, that didn't happen. That's a joke. Really. It didn't happen with our elders. We haven't had that. But at the same time, but that's what it means sometimes. All this, we got this. And then I said, well, we need to pray about it. Oh, wait a minute. We can't do this ourselves? We can't do this without him? The answer to that question is what? No. What are you talking about? Anything. Everything. You can't do it without him. Can't do it without him. See, this thing about him making your path straight gives you grace to function outside your norm. Something bad happens, terrible happens. You know what you need? You need surrender to God. Yeah, whatever it was, it happened. God knows about it. And he knows about you and I. And he knows where we are. But he knows that we need grace even in the midst of the trouble, even in the things that we're going through. He said, if you just surrender and acknowledge me about you, not about them, about you. He said, I'll direct your path and I will give you grace to function that is beyond you being normal. Grace to function beyond you and I being normal. Wow. Couple of more verses. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, being wise in our own eyes. I got this. Y'all know that? I got this. Oh, well, yeah, you got nothing. Whatever you got, it is nothing. Nothing. I got this. No, we don't. And all, do not be wise in your own way you look. Change the way you view things. Not in your own understanding, not in your own wisdom, but in his, says, fear the Lord and turn from evil. Fear the Lord, turn from evil. Fear the Lord, turn from evil. See, the greatest hindrance to our wisdom is the thought that we've already attained it. I've already heard that. A word comes. I've already heard that. You may have heard that, but you have not heard what he wants to tell you about it, what the Lord wants to tell you about it. Listen, I have preached messages before that did not have anything to do with relationships. And I've had people to come and tell me that really helped me in my relationship. And I'm wanting to say, I didn't even talk to you about relationships. So it wasn't me that helped you. And the truth is, it wasn't. Who was it? In the midst of that message, God was dropping things in you that he knows is real pertinent to you at this moment in time. And he drops these things in you. And the pastor or the teacher or whomever has never said a word about it. That's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will just do what you need. He will come. He will guide. Who did he say he would guide?
you individually, me, and he would guide us as corporately. He'd guide you in everything, in all truth. Then he goes on and he says this. He said, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn from evil, and it will be healing. It will be healing to your body. What's the promise? You want healing to your body? You want restoration? That's what that word means. It'll be healing to your body. Give up your wisdom. Follow his. And refreshment to your bones. Your substance to the substance. You want the substance of who you are to be refreshed? That's how. Last verse, and we're going to close. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Now, it's not a message about money. It's really not. It's not a message. I ain't even talking about tithing. Tithing is 10%. That's what tithing is. You're not under the law, but you are under the direction of the Lord to give generously. We are. But he says right this. Honor the Lord. That word honor means to heap abundant glory. You want to heap abundant glory to God? Then, I don't have my wallet with me. Then don't hang on to that wallet so tight. Let it be in your pocket, but not in your heart. And he goes on and this is so important, honoring the Lord with what you have. It's not the amount that you have, it's what you have. Honoring the Lord, heaping glory upon the Lord with what you have. And he says, with the first of all your produce. That is so important to the Lord. I want you to catch this, that word, first of all, is the first word in the Bible. In the beginning is the same word right here. So the Bible starts out, it's so important to God, in the beginning. So in the beginning, what do? In the beginning, you give the first of your income. Well, how much? What's in your heart? What's in your heart? Be a generous giver, whatever it is. I mean, it's so important to God that it's the first word in the Bible. And then what did he say about that? He says, after that, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, the prosperity gospel has been a very hurtful thing to the body of Christ when it's misused. But I'm telling you, prosperity is in the Bible. And it's right there, as well as other places. But it's not that you're going to be so prosperous that you'll have money. You'll just have all. That's not what he's talking about. He didn't tell you how much. He said, your barns will be what? Filled. Maybe you got a little barn. Maybe you got a big barn. Maybe you got a little shack. Maybe whatever it is. Maybe you live in a car. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your barn will be filled, and your vat will be overflowing with newness of wine. Just because we're going to honor the Lord with our wealth. Give him your whole heart. That means you give him your pocketbook too. And whatever he says is what we do. Whatever he says is what we do. If that's for me, tell him I'm about through. Let's stand. We're going to sit back down, but I'll stand on a pray, and then we're going to have the announcements. Did you hear God speak to you today? All right, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And Lord, we surrender our heart, all that we have, to you. We hold nothing back.
We have no distractions. We pursue with no distractions. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Give the Lord a hand. What a word. It's after our heart. Amen. Just a couple quick announcements, and then we're going to go down and fellowship at the FLC. First of all, there is a new Sunday school series being taught by Kim Logan right over here. So make sure you make plans to come out at 9:30 in coffee sessions talking about speaking the word of God. Amen. How many want to speak the word of God? Amen. So that class is going to be there. Also, church office will be closed tomorrow. If there is an emergency, something going on, just dial the number and get the pastor on call, and there will be someone there that picks up. Next week, there's going to be a baptism. If you want to sign up or have a child or you or someone you know wants to get baptized, make sure you go to the back and sign up there at the communication centers. Also, do we have any birthdays? This is the last month. Happy birthday. Any other birthdays? Any other? Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Any others? Happy birthday. We got someone in here that is celebrating their ninth time of celebrating 10 years old. They have been 10 years old nine times. Where is Ruth Reed? Ruth, are you in? Where is Ruth? Is she in here? I was going to honor her. She might be down there working. She's working. 90 years old and down there preparing your food. What's your excuse? 92. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. A little fact checker back there. We need that. Amen. Amen. How many know God answers prayers? God answers prayers. McDonald, stand up. He got a report. He's cancer free. He got a report. He is cancer-free. We've been praying for him. Now, since we know God works and prayer is answered, I want to bring some prayers up to you real quick. And we're going to pray, and that same God that answers prayers is going to answer prayer. Amen? We need to, as Pastor mentioned earlier, we need to pray for Teresa Millwood and her family. Mike has been graduated, and so there's grief there. But we're praying for comfort, supernatural comfort and peace. It just pours all over that family. We also want to pray for Luke Hopper. That's Charlie Hopper's son. He's the same God that heals, and his son needs a healing. He's got some pancreatic issues there, and we need to pray for him. Also need to pray for Al Loveless. He is in the hospital with some diabetes issues there. So the same God that healed McDonald, the same God that's touching Charlie's son, and the same God that's right there in the hospital right now for Al is at work. And so let's just say, Lord, we thank you that you are healing. You're sending your word to heal our disease, our ailments, our pains, our discomforts. Lord, our anguish, our anxiety. Lord, you're coming in the room right now of all these loved ones that we brought up. That's our family right now, Lord. And we're saying, touch, Lord. Be God. Show up, show out. And let it be a testimony of your goodness and your grace. In your name we pray, amen. But let's not stop at prayer. If you know any of these folks, reach out to them and say, hey, we talked about you today. We're thinking about you and we're praying for you. If you are new here today, this is your first time, meet Pastor Terry back at the back right there. And then come down to the FLC. That's the big gym right down there at the bottom. We got food for y'all. Blessings. Have a great week.